they were here way back too. I have written trying to find out just when they came in, but they were of pioneer stock too. But I just don't know just how far back.
Now, do you recall your reaction when you heard the news about Pearl Harbor?
I remember that very definitely. I was standing at the sink, and the man next door was, he was in the reserves. And he was a captain in the reserves. And I just remember opening the window and calling to him and telling him, go in and turn the radio on. So it was a radio then, of course. So I remember that, yes, very much. And I didn't like it, naturally. No one else did. It, they came in with no warning at all and bombed Pearl Harbor, and it was a terrible thing. So, but it's, I say the feeling of patriotic feeling was so strong that anyone would have done anything to help. And you never had any of this protest type of thing at all. That was, there were a great many things that were wrong, especially what they did to the Japanese people that lived here. And at that time, I felt it was very wrong. It, I knew one family that because the grandmother was Japanese, they had to leave their home and go up here. And this was terrible. On the other hand, my husband had worked on Terminal Island and the schools that were there at that time. And there were, amongst those people there, there were Japanese that were spies. And so that, because of that, everybody suffered. And it was wrong. It was terrible.
There were Japanese families living in Bell then at the time who were evacuated.
Well, they were descendants, yes. Yes. Yes, this one family, of course, that was the one I knew, so that's the one I felt so badly about. But it there might have been more, but I don't know.
Now, what at what point did you decide that you were going to go to work?
Well, some, I, let's see, I started in 42, and I think a lot because one of my neighbors was going too, and I thought, well, now this would take care of the situation when even I was good at getting along and next to nothing, but it was still getting difficult. And so rather, my husband was talking about whether he should quit or not. And so I said, no, I'll go see what I can do.
His idea was to quit to get a better paying job, you mean?
Yes. Yes, because you see, the school board in those days, that they didn't belong to any union at that time. And they were paid a very small amount. I don't remember exactly, but it wasn't very much. And as prices were going up, it wasn't enough to cover our expenses. So I went over and took tests to see about getting a job at Vaulty.
How did you know about Vaulty?
As I say, I'm not sure. I think my neighbor found out about it. And she wanted me to go with her, and I said, okay, I'll go. So we went together, and we went together. We'd never worked alongside of each other, but we went together for a long time.
Do you remember going, well, let me backtrack first and ask you, how did your husband feel then about your deciding to get the job and go to work?
He didn't like it. And my brother, and especially my youngest brother, just, he thought it was terrible. My father, oh, he was very upset. He said, you can't work amongst people like that. They were people just like me.
Oh, the idea was that they weren't as good as you, in other words.
They thought it was a real rough situation, you know, people that were rougher and you know, not the same type of people I'm used to being with. And they just couldn't see me going over and working in a factory and doing that type of work. But I wasn't trained for just any type of work.
Was that their main objection, or did they object to a woman going to work still?
No, I wasn't objecting to a woman mm-hmm. working. That wasn't the idea. They just mm-hmm. didn't think that I should be the woman that go to work. They were trying to protect me, I'm sure. Well, there again, I had quite a bit of arthritis, mm-hmm. and they knew that. And they felt that it would just be a bad thing to get in there. But as it was, when I took the tests, as far as using the hands and the eye and hand movements, I passed just about the highest on them. So they said that they had only one or two others that could do that. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed to see anything using my hands. And riveting is... it's a very simple type of thing. Well, even drilling, I could take a little hand drill and go up and down these holes as fast as you could move, just go like that, where mm-hmm. most people would break a drill. And it was a very simple thing. Mm-hmm. And the riveting the same way. It's just a matter of rhythm, you know, and using it. So it was easy to do.
Do you remember going down to apply for the job with your... You say you went down with a neighbor.
Yes.
Do you remember what the process was like applying for the job or what they told you about it?
Well, it was just merely making out forms. And then we had to go to school for a while to learn how to do this type of thing. They had a school set up up there to show us how to do assembly work and riveting and the... reasons for things, mm-hmm. what was a good rivet and what wasn't, and that type of thing.
And that was right at the plant itself?
No, it was in the same town.
It was in Downey?
Yes, it was a building in Downey. Mm-hmm. And then the plant was over farther. I think we went there about 2 weeks mm-hmm. before we started to work.
Do you remember how early in 42 was this?
What was it?
How early in 42 was this that you started?
Seems to me that it was about in April, uh-huh. April or May.
So very shortly after we entered the war.
It wasn't too far then. I worked from 42 until 45.
In this class, was this only women who were being trained to go into the job, or was it mixed?
I think mostly it was women on mm-hmm. this. Because, as I say, the men had most of the jobs that they were trained to do. They see so many young men were in the service that it didn't leave very many then to do these types of jobs. And the ones that they kept out of the service, the young men that were kept out of the service, were the ones that could do the more specialized work. Mm-hmm. They had to have men to make these jigs. Mm-hmm. They had to have men to make the forms for the ribs, and that was beyond us. We mm-hmm. couldn't possibly have done it.
Now, tell me, after you were interviewed and before you started your training class, what kind of instructions did they give you in terms of clothing and safety?
Well, on that, we were... I don't remember being told to wear slacks, but we might have been. And we had to wear a net on our hair, which was a necessity mm-hmm. for fear of getting it into a machine.
And had you worn slacks before?
Oh, at times, yes. For the mountains and things like mm-hmm. that, mainly. I didn't wear them as much as I do now.
How did it seem to you to wear slacks?
Oh, perfectly normal. Mm-hmm.
That didn't bother me at all. I know for some women it was a very new experience. They felt very self-conscious about it. They've talked about that.
No, I never felt that way about mm-hmm. it. I had worn them enough that it didn't bother me. Mm. I just felt I looked better in a dress, but then that's, of course, the way the slacks fit in those days. No wonder.
Do you recall your first day going to work?
No. No, I don't. No, I just probably went.
Now, how far away was the plant from here?
Well, I could drive over there in my car. It would probably take me about 20 minutes mm-hmm. to drive over there.
And is that how you got to work? You would drive?
No, I didn't have a car that I could drive. Uh-huh. My husband had the car. Uh-huh. I went to, we caught the bus is what we did for quite a while. And then there was a man that worked in Maywood. And Maywood's the next little town. And he asked us if we wanted to ride with him and share.
Mm.
So we shared. We paid him so much to pick mm-hmm. us up and take us to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it helped him and it helped us.
Now, when you actually went into the plant after the 2 weeks of training, you were already able to do what sorts of operations?
Well, I was started on this type of thing here, on working on this jig. That was the first thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the center part. I don't know whether you knew the P-38 the Lockheed mm-hmm. put out. It was a twin engine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're working on here was a center part between these two hulls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a much heavier rivet that went into this. It was what they call coal riveting. And you took them out of the icebox real cold and riveted, and that was harder work.
Hmm.
It was a heavier type of work. You know.
But what you started on was this jig,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And what exactly would you do in the operation?
Well, the jig would be empty, see?
Mm-hmm.
This would be off, and nothing in through here. So the first job would be to mark your ribs. We took a red pencil and just put a line right down through the center. That was so that when we pushed it into position, then we could be sure we were hitting the center of that rib when we drilled. Because
mm-hmm.
it ruined the whole rib if you got too much in the curve or something like that. So
you would actually then place the skin on the rib?
Well, we put the ribs in first mm-hmm. and fastened those in. Then we put the skin on and fastened these clamps on it. And then when we did that, we, as I say, I can't remember whether we drilled it then or whether we took it off first. And I think we drilled it then. Mm-hmm. And then we took it off and trimmed along this excess piece. You can see where it comes mm-hmm. up here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little excess on the other side, too. Those had to be trimmed. And then we put it back together again. And there was one spot down here that had to be marked. And then we'd take it off, loosen the whole thing and take it off and give it to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we put it in a special holder, and then it was checked. There, one lead man or somebody would come along and check all the rivets that we put in, be sure that it was lined up right in the drilling and all before it went to the next person to be riveted up.
But you would then just put in a few rivets, in other words?
About three.
Uh-huh.
See, enough to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
See, because we were doing this type of work and not taking time to rivet the whole mm-hmm. thing. See, that was the main thing about it. These other, as I say, the two girls in this other picture
mm-hmm.
then riveted the next part of this.
I see. Now, in this photograph, there are three of you working on this jig setup. Was that the usual size of your crew?
Sometimes there'd be another one. There was times I had another one working with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It made it a little faster, because this way I have to reach to the back to get the back part in place and be sure it's in place good. And naturally, that's slower
mm-hmm.
than if someone else was doing that. And then the person in the back would drill, and you drill in the front. And then in riveting, they'd be there already to rivet, you see. So it was faster with one more.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you had... you would work in pairs, in effect,
yes,
on each side
yes,
of this.
Yes.
Now, and I notice that you're standing on a stool.
Yes.
So in order to reach the highest part, You would stand on the stool?
Yes, I had to stand on the stool. Well, both of us did. Oh. She was shorter, too.
But how high was that, the stool?
Well, it was just two steps high.
Uh-huh. About 2 feet high, something like that?
Yes, about like that. Mm-hmm. Oh. It was just a step stool.
It looks like it could easily tip over. Do you recall ever having any problems with that?
Of course, it was my own fault. Most of the time when you have an accident, it's your own fault. I came off of one jig. I was doing another job, and I was working when the jig was moving. You know, they had a moving line in one section, and I was doing some safety wiring, which is you put the wire in and wrap it, twist it just so the whatever you're wiring couldn't slip out. And I wanted to move, and I just hopped down off of where I was onto one of those stools, and it flipped like that. And I came down here, and I had the blackest fanny for a long time. But it was, nothing broke.
That reminds me to ask you a couple of things. When something like that happened, did you have to go see the nurse?
Yes, yes. They had a first aid station, and you had to go there. And the report was made out.
Did you lose any time as a result?
No. It was a little embarrassing.
This was unlike anything you had ever done. You'd never really worked before.
No, I never really worked.
What was your feeling about the work?
Well, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. It was a different experience, but then again, working with my hands. I always like to work with my hands. And meeting the people were very much like I am. And here again, you had, you think back at the way things were at that time. They were much different than they are now. Volti was the first plant of this type, and there he is out here to hire a black girl. And she was a very nice person. Wilhelmina was her first name, but I can't remember her last one either. And her mother was a school teacher. She was from Los Angeles. And just a real nice girl. And then there were the Mexican girls. Now, the Mexican girls were treated just like we were. Mm-hmm. There was no such thing as brown or anything. They were white as far as we were concerned. In Bell, there were quite a few Mexican people. And they were treated just like we were. I mean, it was, you know, I couldn't see that they were being discriminated against in any way. But at that time, the Negroes were just very badly. And here again, I've always been different where things like this was concerned. I could see the wrong. And as a group, we became quite friendly and the ones that worked together. And we, if someone happened to quit, one girl quit and went in the wax. Mm-hmm. And so we would have a party, and usually at a restaurant and like that. So we thought, no, we're not going to have it at the restaurant. We'll have it in one of our homes and ask Willie to come too, mm-hmm. because we didn't want to leave her out. And about 7 o'clock that night, we got a telegram saying that she was so sorry she couldn't come, but she appreciated us asking her. Mm-hmm. Now, she didn't want to break it, mm-hmm. but those things wouldn't happen today.
Now, she was the only black woman in your department?
They were the first one. Now, when I was in, there were probably others starting to come, mm-hmm. but in that 3 years that I was there, then they began coming from the south, mm-hmm. and you could really tell the difference of the ones coming from the south. They were shy. They were very hard for them to mix with people, mm-hmm. and it was a very, I know, a hard situation for them. They were treated nice, mm-hmm. but I was put with them on doing different assembly works because I did have the ability of working with them, and I had the patience to work with them, and I could get along with most people. So I worked with quite a few that came in just from the South to work here. So it was, when you think back and think of the difference, it there's been a lot of changes.
Now, how many, for instance, in your department, how many of you would be in your department? On your particular crew on this job, there'd be, say, 3 or 4, but how many would be in the department itself?
Well, there were the other two girls that were in this picture. Mm-hmm. They would be considered our department. Mm-hmm. There was another girl that did the checking on to see if they were all right. Mm-hmm. She was sort of like a lead girl. I don't know that she was paid any more than we had, but that was her job, was to check everything. And then it went on to another fellow after that check to be sure that everything was all right.
Was she considered a lead girl?
I believe she was at the time she was doing that, yes. She might have been paid more for that.
So there were about 10 of you under this one lead girl then?
She wasn't over us. Mm-hmm. She just did this inspection. She would be called an inspector. That's right.
Well, how many of you were under the lead man, would you say?
I really don't know whether he had any more than just around RJ or not. Mm-hmm. There would be the 4 or 5, and maybe one or two others that worked part of the time. But he might have had a little more that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering when you were describing to me the group of women who would meet, and Wilhelmina and some of the Mexican workers, would that be that you'd be working in the same general area, or would you happen to know them?
You see, this area was large. Mm-hmm. It was like a whole floor of the factory, you see, and maybe over 20, 30 feet away, there might be tables set up where they were doing a different type of assembly work. And I don't remember exactly what this group of Mexicans worked on. Mm-hmm. But there again, they were very nice. They couldn't pronounce my name. They always called me Charlie. But I always remember this one when I would walk up toward them. They would say, "Now you speak English. You know Charlie can't speak the Spanish."
But they were all clustered in one work area, it sounds like.
Well, yes, this particular group, but there were others scattered through the plant. It wasn't that they were separating this group. Mm-hmm. It just happened. Maybe they came in together, too, you see, and it just happened that they were together.
So. Tell me a little bit about the women that you worked with. What were they like, and what was their background like compared to your...
Oh. Well, I think quite a bit the same. This girl here lived down at San Pedro. I think her folks were fishermen down there. And the one in the back lived over in Huntington Park, and just a plain, ordinary family. Mm-hmm. They might not have mixed with as many people as I did, because working through the star and all, I did more of that type of thing than many of them did. Of course, some of them might have gone to church more than I did and mixed that way. I don't know.
Now, were these women who had been working before the war or women who came out of the home?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I never asked them. So, but, no, we kept pretty busy working all the time there. And there wasn't much personal thing that came into it.
Who would you spend your time with on breaks and at lunchtime?
Oh, we just sat down as a group. We took our own lunch, and we would never take the time, well, we wouldn't have had the time to walk out and get a lunch anyplace. It was quite a walk from the parking lot into where we worked. So we just took our lunch and then we'd go get it and sit and... The only thing you noticed at breaks, you would get a 10-minute break. Of course, if you had to go to the bathroom, you'd do that, too. And all the motors turned off. And if anyone turned the motor on, everybody yelled at them. Because it sounded so loud that that might be part of what's wrong with my hearing. Mm. I don't know.
But when you would take your break, just the people who would immediately work together would take their break or yes. have lunch together?
Yes, we would just go find some spot to sit on and sit and eat and talk about different things. I don't know really what we talked about now.
But it doesn't sound like you talked much about your family lives, for instance.
No, no, not particularly. We didn't have any close connections, you see. So there wasn't very much there that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I just knew that where they lived, and that was all I knew about mm-hmm. them, really. But, and then the one, as I say, this one here, she was bucking rabbits for me. I was shooting the rabbits, and she was bucking them. And she talked more because I think she was trying to make me a communist, and she had the wrong party.
Tell me about that again, since we talked about it off tape.
Well, she was very active with this group downtown, and it was a communist group. And at this time, during the time that I worked on this, was a time that Roosevelt died.
Mm.
And I'm a Republican, and the majority of people, especially, that you meet in a plant of this time are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were quite upset, which I never liked to hear of anyone dying either. But he should never have been in there that last term anyway. He was a very sick man when he ran for the office, and he shouldn't have been there. And things might have been better in some ways for us if he hadn't been. But she wanted me to join this group with her. That was all good. And, of course, I was telling her, no, I never join a communist group. I said, you wouldn't either if you knew what they were like. And there was one other man that worked around there, and he was a Republican. Of course, this is quite noticeable because we could stand out like sore thumb. And I never said very much about my affiliations because of the fact that they were so almost radical. So I never said anything. And this other man was talking about it, and I said, well, sure, you can talk. Look how big you are. But he was saying to her, too, that if she ever had a chance to go to Russia and had to live under the conditions that those people live under, that she would change her mind in a hurry.
It sounded, when you spoke before, as if you made a very clear distinction, though, between her beliefs in socialism and her being a communist.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was sure. I was sure at the time, and I talked to her quite a bit. She owned property up in San Fernando Valley around, forget exactly where she said it was now, but anyway, it was up in that area. And she felt that things should be divided with mm-hmm. other people, that one person shouldn't have everything and somebody else have nothing. And it was really her beliefs when she was talking were for socialism. And she couldn't see the difference between socialism and communism. And that's why I never kept on